Vaikatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Vaikatra AI. Welcome back to the deep dive.
Okay, so if you've ever looked at, say, a massive suburban megachurch and thought, this feels a bit less like a quiet sanctuary and maybe more like a, a competitive startup.
Or even like a branded entertainment venue.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then you are absolutely in the right place today.
Yeah, we are plunging into the really fascinating American spiritual landscape, and we're doing it through the eyes of Timothy Beale.
We're drawing on his crucial insights into the creativity, the sheer diversity, and the relentless adaptation that truly defines faith in the U.S.
Our mission today is pretty straightforward, really. We want to challenge that kind of conventional, simplified narrative.
The dusty old story, right?
Yeah, the one that says American religion peaked with the Puritans, and now it's just, you know, in terminal decline amid all the culture wars. We're aiming to replace that with the complex, the authentic, and frankly, the surprisingly vital picture of spirituality that Beale actually uncovers.
And this matters so much right now. Understanding the uniquely dynamic, often kind of messy, and highly commercial nature of American faith.
Yeah.
It's really the only way to truly grasp modern politics.
And contemporary social debates. Even how our consumer habits kind of intersect with our spiritual lives.
Totally. If you understand the marketplace of faith, you really start to understand America.
Okay, so who's our guide through this spiritual shopping mall, as it were?
That would be Timothy Beale. He's the Florence Harkness Professor of Religion at Case Western Reserve University.
And what's really key about Beale is his background, isn't it? It's interdisciplinary.
Oh, absolutely. He doesn't just study biblical texts in isolation. He studies culture. He merges religious history with deep cultural analysis.
Which means he sees faith less as like a static set of doctrines.
Right, and more as a dynamic system of narratives that are constantly being, well, consumed, packaged, and marketed.
I think that's the crucial bit. He's not coming at this as an apologist trying to defend religion or as a secular critic trying to tear it down.
No, he sits sort of right in the middle, a careful observer, really interested in just how religion actually functions and evolves, specifically in the American system.
He manages to bridge that really rigorous academic work with a very accessible public scholarship.
He's asking, when a traditional religious story hits the American market, how does it change? And his answer is, well, it changes fast and dramatically.
Okay, let's unpack the core argument then. Beale's central idea, and it's a powerful counter to that whole secularization theory, is that American religion is defined by extraordinary diversity, constant flux, and creative innovation.
So America isn't losing its religion.
No, it's just constantly reinventing it, often on a really, really personal level.
And that leads us straight into the main analytical framework he uses for basically everything. The idea that the religious landscape of the U.S. is best understood as a dynamic, intensely competitive religious marketplace.
Okay, hold on. Let's slow down there because I think this is the key concept, right?
It really is.
So the First Amendment, the one guaranteeing religious freedom, it didn't just create spiritual liberty. It actually changed the whole economic game for faith groups. Like, it forced them to become salesmen.
Precisely. Because the First Amendment mandated the disestablishment of religion. No state church, no religious group gets automatic taxpayer money or guaranteed loyalty.
Ah, okay.
So if you want followers, you have to compete for them. You've got to innovate. You've got to market your spiritual product and meet the specific individual needs of the consumer. Competition isn't optional. It's built in.
That explains so much of the, well, the entrepreneurial chaos we sometimes see today.
Yeah.
So if we accept this competitive marketplace model, where did this competition actually kick off? We need to look back further than just the founding fathers, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. Beale really takes apart that persistent Christian nation myth. Yes, the Puritans were foundational, but their goal when they arrived back in the 17th century, freedom for their specific, quite strict Protestantism.
Not freedom for everyone.
Not at all. They were pretty intent on enforcing their own orthodoxy.
And the diversity, it wasn't something that arrived later to complicate things.
No, that's the key point. It was the original condition of colonial America.
Right. You had Catholics, like in Maryland.
Quakers in Pennsylvania. Jewish communities popping up quickly in the big port cities.
And critically, the totally different spiritual traditions brought by enslaved Africans and, of course, the spiritual paths of the Native American nations already here.
Exactly. So pluralism isn't some modern threat to the American way. It's the original, unavoidable characteristic of the continent.
And this marketplace dynamic, it fostered the rise of that classic American spiritual figure, the religious entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm. Schisms, new denominations. Beale sees them not just as theological disagreements, but as market diversification. New brands trying to appeal to new demographics.
Okay, so who's the prime example of this religious entrepreneur in action, historically speaking?
Well, the ultimate case study has to be George Whitefield during the First Great Awakening, mid-18th century.
Right, Whitefield. He was basically the spiritual rock star of his time, wasn't he?
Totally. The original spiritual startup founder. He bypassed the established, often kind of stuffy, church institutions by using new marketing techniques.
Like preaching outdoors.
Exactly. Open-air sermons, reaching tens of thousands, often people who felt left out by the traditional church structure. He used advanced publicity, printing pamphlets, traveling constantly.
He basically created the first spiritual mass market product, tailored to the individual experience, not the institution.
Spot on. It's that American entrepreneurial spirit, but applied to salvation.
And this competitive energy meant the country became this laboratory for spiritual experimentation. It led to religious movements that were genuinely unique to America.
And this is where we see distinctly American innovations emerge. Two key case studies Beale highlights are Joseph Smith Jr. and the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons and Ellen White and the Seventh-day Adventists.
He argues these produced forms of Christianity that were, quote, unimaginable in European contexts.
Right. And why were they unimaginable? Because the American setup allowed for entirely new claims of divine revelation.
So Joseph Smith introduces a whole new scripture, the Book of Mormon, alongside the Bible.
And Ellen White develops these specific, radical, prophetic timelines and focuses heavily on health reform in a way that really challenged traditional religious practice.
The idea of new prophets just popping up in the 19th century, challenging the old guard, that could only really happen in that radically decentralized American religious marketplace.
But, and this is crucial, that marketplace was never really a level playing field. We have to talk about Protestant privilege.
Ah, okay. So even though the First Amendment prevented an official state church,
Protestant norms, specifically that individualistic congregational model, they became the invisible cultural default.
So things like Sunday Blue laws, maybe the specific holidays we celebrate, even the sort of ingrained values of the American work ethic.
All implicitly based on this Protestant framework. Mm. You didn't have to be Protestant to live here, obviously, but the underlying rules of the game were kind of set by them.
Right.
And that invisible privilege meant that other faiths, especially when large waves arrived, like Irish and Italian Catholics or Eastern European Jews, they were often seen as dangerously foreign, un-American even.
Why? Because their traditions didn't fit the mold.
Exactly. Catholicism's hierarchical structure or Orthodox Judaism's more collective cultural practices, they clashed fundamentally with that dominant, very individualistic Protestant way of doing religion.
Okay, so stepping back, looking at the big picture, what are the main themes Beale wants us to really grasp from all this? Theme one seems to be about the individual.
Yes, the primacy of individualism and choice. Because religion is marketed, the ultimate authority shifts to the individual consumer or seeker.
So loyalty to big institutions goes down.
In favor of these personal spiritual journeys, that whole modern thing we call seeker spirituality.
Theme number two really reinforces that constant motion, religious innovation and adaptation.
Yeah, American faith is just always marked by creativity, flexibility, adapting old beliefs to new situations.
Which reframes current trends, like the rise of the knowns, the religiously unaffiliated.
Right. It reframes it not as decline, but as spiritual vitality. People are still seeking. They're just, you know, customizing their own spiritual product.
Okay, theme three, the democratic character of American religion.
Mm-hmm. Because the marketplace favors that entrepreneurial bottom-up appeal, American movements often stress personal experience and grassroots leadership over, say, distant high-up hierarchical authority.
Which explains why things like the populist megachurch model work so incredibly well here.
Precisely. And theme four is vital, showing the positive power. Religion as a resource for liberation.
Beale reminds us faith isn't just about conflict or competition. It's been this incredibly powerful organizing force for social good.
Absolutely. The prime example being the Black Church. It functions not just as a religious institution, but as the central hub for survival, identity, political mobilization.
The engine room for the civil rights movement.
And its ongoing legacy today. Absolutely essential.
Beale offers these really powerful ways of thinking, these concepts that kind of stick with you and should really change how you see things.
Yeah, they really should shift how you interpret the news, for example.
Okay, let's touch on three core ideas. First, this one. Religious diversity in America is not a recent development that threatens traditional values, but an original condition that has fostered spiritual vitality and cultural creativity.
That one idea just reframes everything. It tells us the constant negotiation over pluralism is America's strength, in a way. Every innovation, every new path is arguably a result of that initial diversity.
Second, the story of American religion is not one of secularization and decline, but of continuous spiritual seeking and religious reinvention.
That directly challenges the simple idea that, you know, when church attendance drops, belief just vanishes.
No, it just moves. It changes form.
Exactly. And finally, the concept that just perfectly nails that radical religious individualism, the consumer model. Sheelyism.
Oh, I love that term. It comes from a real person, right?
Yeah, based on a real interview subject who, when asked about her faith, basically said she followed her own personal beliefs that she called Sheelyism.
Wow, it just perfectly illustrates that idea. The individual is now the sovereign consumer, totally free to design their own faith brand, tailored just for them.
So this whole framework, it has incredible real-life application for you, the listener. Right away, it gives you enhanced political and social literacy.
Yeah, because now when you look at current political fights over religious freedom or cultural clashes about American values,
you see them not as totally new crises, but as like the latest installments of those long-running patterns. Beale describes market competition, Protestant privilege.
The arguments are old, just the packaging is new.
It also gives you crucial, critical consumer awareness. You can start to view all spiritual expression, well, critically, recognizing the marketing forces at play.
So you understand why the production values at a megachurch service might feel engineered to rival a rock concert?
Uh-huh. Or why these packaged spiritual products, like fancy yoga retreats or wellness brands, are basically just products designed to meet a specific consumer demand in that spiritual marketplace.
And maybe most importantly, for interfaith dialogue, recognizing that someone's faith is often a mix of choice, cultural forces, and the relentless marketing of the American system, it helps to foster more respectful conversations, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It helps move us beyond seeing groups like, say, Catholics or Muslims or Mormons as just these monolithic, maybe foreign blocks.
And instead see them as dynamic, adapting groups, participating in the same complex American ecosystem we're all in.
You know, what surprised me most, diving back into this material, was just how deep the entanglement really is. That blurring of lines between religion, politics, commerce. It's inescapable in the American system.
The complexity is the story.
The complexity is the key. It explains why American spirituality looks and feels the way it does. It's entrepreneurial, it's messy, and it's constantly renewing itself.
And that leads right to the book's lasting insight, I think. American religion's real strength lies in its capacity for renewal and creative adaptation. So if the individual is the sovereign spiritual consumer, the question I'll leave you with to think about is, what spiritual products will you be demanding next? And who's going to be ready to sell them to you?
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acantra Foundation.